What happened was I had become friends with Sandy Pearlman, who was a great songwriter and producer and manager. Black Sabbath, Blue Oyster Cult, Romeo Void, The Clash. And Sandy was interested in neuropsychology. And when he learned that I had taken a class from Prebram, he just went crazy. He said, could you introduce me to Prebram? And I said, sure. I mean, I think I called Carl on the phone and, you know, asked if I could come down. We come down and we sit in on one of his classes. We go out with Carl after for a cup of coffee. Carl invites us to sit in on any of his classes anytime. And so we start going down regularly when we can. What happened when I was 33 or so, in 1990, I was producing a record for an artist named Dean Street. Great record. I still love listening to it. Five songs. I was having trouble with the one that was going to be the single. I just couldn't mix it. So I called a buddy of mine, Bob Misbach. At the time, he had the number one record in the country. He had mixed Power of Love for Huey Lewis and the News. And I told him what I was doing, and I asked him for advice. He says, well, you know, if you like, I'll come by and help you. How in the world do you have time? You have the number one record in the country. Your phone must be ringing off the hook. So nobody'd called him. He had no work. And he's worried about how he's going to make his rent. He doesn't own a house yet. So then Bob comes to the studio the next day. I say to him at the beginning of the day, look, you just mix it. I'll pay you whatever you want. You just mix it. I'm not getting anywhere with it. Rather than you helping me, you just do it. Yeah. He says, oh, I won't charge you. Of course not. We're friends. He mixed the hell out of that song. He's using the same equipment that I'm using. He's putting his fingers on the same buttons and knobs.
Yeah.
But it just sounds like a record. I thought, what Bob just did, I'm 5 years away from being able to do that. Around that same time, the record industry was beginning to undergo changes that a number of us saw as a harbinger of eventual implosion. So I remember all around the same time, there was this cohort of producer and engineers that I had come up with in the 13 years I'd been at it. So while all this is going on, I'm thinking, maybe I should go back to college and just get a bachelor's degree. Not give up playing music or producing, but be thinking forward about having something I can do. Yeah, so I went back to Stanford thinking I'd be a math major. The part I left out of the story is that I had discovered an extension to an Euler theorem when I was in eighth grade. But at any rate, having had this affinity towards math, you know, here I'm at 30 trying to figure out what I'm going to do, I had a bunch of ideas. It sounded to me like to begin math at 30 was not a good idea, because they said all of them and their colleagues had had their major discoveries before 30. And I walked them through my little Euler project from when I was 13, and they said, oh, that's interesting, yeah, but you know, that's not a major discovery. That's the kind of thing that, you know, if when you were 13 you had taken number theory, you might have been able to come up with something by the time you were 26, but you know, it's kind of late now. And I remember talking to people in computer science, and by then computer science had really changed. It didn't appeal to me anymore. Electrical engineering didn't appeal. And I went back to the music department, and I did end up taking some music classes, but the music major didn't seem like it was going to help me have a career fallback in any way. And so I didn't know what I was going to do. I had to declare a major, and Roger Shepard, who had been my advisor, agreed to stay on as my advisor. When I went back, I had all this transfer credit. I had class here and there that I had taken that I had gotten credit for, Fresno State. I had gone to Berkeley and taken the math class. So when I was working in studios, I did a multivariate calculus class at Berkeley. I only had, I think, 45 units left, so I could finish Stanford in a year. But I decided it had been a while since I'd sat in any one place for a while. I mean, I wasn't used to sitting in a classroom. And I decided that I would take a half load. For the first time in my life, I'm at school and not on a scholarship. I sold my Porsche to pay for my tuition. Roger had suggested that if I had any thought of wanting to go to graduate school, that a good use of my time would be to start getting some laboratory experience.